And now the game where we ask important people about unimportant things. So one of the things we like to do on this show, when we can, is encourage people who are getting their start in public radio. So we're happy to have joining us today the host of a new podcast produced by WNYC in New York. It's called Here's the Thing. You know, it's an interview show with various artists, writers, and thinkers. The host is apparently an actor of some kind. Alec Baldwin, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Peter.
Great to have you.
Public radio changes everything, doesn't it?
It really does. So I have to ask you, I followed your career for a long time, movies, TV, theater, and I have to ask, a podcast?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wanted this to end, and I thought, I'm tired. You know, I've been working a lot.
Yeah.
And I thought, what was the quickest way to kill my career? And I thought, podcast.
It's interesting because, you know, that's podcast is usually how people with no hope and no future begin, you know,
yeah.
when they run out of other options.
I'm bringing it full circle, Peter.
Yeah, I know. It's exciting. Did you study, like, public radio? I mean, of course, you're famous for the classic Sweaty Balls routine on Saturday Night Live some years ago. Did you study?
That's going to be on my tombstone.
Absolutely. Did you study like public radio persona in order to sort of make it in this competitive world of public radio?
Carl Castle is pretty much the Marlon Brando of public radio.
He is, actually.
We all begin with Carl.
He does. He lives on an island.
Carl, I want you to do me a favor, Carl. I want you to yell out, Stella!
Stella!
Go there.
I want to ask you about this because back in the 80s and 90s, you were playing leading men and villains. But now we're seeing you, you know, in comic roles like on 30 Rock. You're really funny. Was that there all along?
Well, I think that it's really is a singer-songwriter thing for us here, which is we have the best writers.
You're talking about 30 Rock, of course.
Yeah, 30 Rock. The writers are fantastic.
Well, but then there are all the times you've hosted Saturday Night Live. I'm going to argue with you because there are some moments.
Don't do it, dude.
No. Because he will kill me.
Have you seen Glengarry Glen Ross?
I know. But really, no, you were really skilled. You're actually very good at voices. Is that a skill you always had?
Well, you know, I watched a lot of TV as a kid, and, you know, when I was younger, I'm older now, but when I was younger, let's face facts, I took a lot of drugs, Peter.
Really? And that helped.
I took so many drugs, and it does help. It opens up your mind quite a bit. It frees you up creatively. I'll send you some stuff, don't worry.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We read that you were the kind of actor, but when you were doing big features, that did all the research for the role, like when you're in The Hunt for Red October, you researched how to drive a sub. When you took the role of Jack Donaghy on 30 Rock, did you decide to research it by hanging out with powerful Republicans and drinking a lot of scotch?
Yeah, no, there's a little bit of that, but the character really, in terms of his behavior, is modeled largely on Lorne Michaels. When I have a line in the early seasons where I say, she says, why are you wearing a tuxedo? And I say, it's after six, what am I, a farmer? That line really embodies the whole thing. That's Lorne. Lorne's one of those guys that has a tux in his glove compartment, you know, and he's out every night with the most famous swells in New York.
I noticed on last week's episode that, apropos of nothing, there was just a photo on your desk behind you that was you and Dominique Strauss-Kahn.
Yes. Yes, very good. I'm so glad you noticed that. That's one of the most fun things is every season we pick the most outrageously inappropriate people for me to be friends with. And we had Strauss-Kahn. We have me with my other favorite is Galliano. We have me with the designer Galliano.
Did you call them up and go, hey, we have a cameo for you in 30 Rock? Because Dominique Strauss-Kahn, I'm sure he's never turned down an invitation to a party, right? He'd come over. I wanted to ask you, we haven't mentioned this so far, but you are, of course, from a famous acting family. Do all your brothers actors?
Well, I'll be the judge of that.
I understand. You act. Some of you others profess to have acted at some point in the future. We're not quite sure. Was there any, only because I have brothers, was there any sense of competition in this? Oh, he's going to be an actor. I'll go be an actor, damn it.
Well, I think my brothers were home, and in the early days when I was working in television, I did a soap opera in New York, and then I went to L.A. and did series TV. My brothers were home, you know, drinking a beer, watching me on TV, and they finally just looked at each other and said, if Schmucko can do this, we can do this.
Really? I mean, I imagine that, you know, you have, what, four or five famous actors in one room. You must drop so many names the floor gives way, would be my expectation.
Well, my brothers are all they're from a different generation than I was from. When I first came into the business in the late 70s, I came to New York to study acting. There was still that very strong emphasis on having roots in the theater. And whenever I've done a play in New York over the last 25 years, my brothers would come and see me, and they would have a very the theater to them is very quaint. They were like, well, that was a nice show. Good for you.
Yes.
Are you trying to...
You? I love when you do those things. What do you call them? Plays.
Yes. What are you trying to say about Biodome 2?
I had a movie out the same time as my brother had the movie Biodome come out at the same time I had a movie come out, and Biodome made more money.
Really?
Yeah.
What was your movie?
Ghosts of Mississippi with Rob Reiner.
Oh.
The civil rights movie, the Medgar Evers murder trial movie. Yeah, they made more money than us. So, you know, who knows, right?
You know, it's funny because I actually had a choice to bring my date to either Biodome or the Medgar Evers movie.
Yeah.
And I went for the Medgar Evers movie.
Yeah.
Because I'm a public radio guy.
And after that, I took your girlfriend to the Biodome movie.
Well, Alec Baldwin, we are delighted to talk to you, and we've asked you here to play a game that this time we're calling...
You must be mistaking me for one of my less talented brothers.
You, as we have said, came from a family of famous brothers, but the Baldwins are not the only notable band of brothers out there. We're going to ask you about three other sets of brothers. Answer these questions correctly, at least two of them. You'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home voicemail. Carl, who is Alec Baldwin playing for?
Alec is playing for Barbara Taylor of Marshfield, Massachusetts.
All right. Ready to do this?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Now, many people are unaware of this, despite the fact we once discussed it on our show, but the rival Puma and Adidas athletic shoe companies were founded by brothers who hated each other. In fact, from 1947 until their deaths in the 70s, Rudolph and Addie Dassler refused to speak to each other. What was the reason for this split? Was it A, they had a fight about who got to use the family bomb shelter during a raid in World War II? B, Addie Dassler wanted 3 stripes on their shoes, Rudolph wanted 4? Or C, Rudolph Dassler disagreed with Addie Dassler's dream of making a thigh-high sprinter's shoe?
B, the 3 stripes versus the 4.
They said 3 stripes. And it was eins, zwei, drei, vier, drei, vier. And they just yelled at each other and walked away and never spoke to each other?
I'm going with that.
Yeah, no, it was actually the bomb shelter.
Oh.
This is the story.
Oh, my God.
So Rudolph and his family was in the shelter, and Adi and his family climbed into the shelter, and Rudolph said, quote, "The dirty bastards are back again." And Addie got insulted. Rudolph insisted he meant the Allied bombers, but Addie was not buying it. And they ceased to speak. That is a true story.
I'm going to tell that at every party for the next 6 months.
There you go. You have 2 more chances. Here we go. Some brothers work, shall we say, in different fields than their more famous siblings, such as which of these? A, John Wayne's brother, Remy Wayne, who was a florist in Des Moines. B, Jerry Falwell's brother, David, who was a Wiccan priest. Or C, Al Capone's brother, James, who was a federal prohibition agent.
Oh, mercy. I'm going to go with Capone, with C.
You're right. It was, in fact, Al Capone's brother, James. He was a federal agent.
Oh, I feel so much better now.
You're right. This is great.
I'm feeling loose now.
All right. Feel that you're relaxed. You're ready. You're ready to play. Here we go.
Yes.
Last question. You know about the Marx brothers. You may know about Zeppo Marx. He was the 4th brother who played straight man to the other 3 until he quit. Well, he went on to be a businessman and inventor. Among his inventions were which of these? A, a clamp that was used, among other things, to hold up the first atomic bomb before it was dropped out of the plane. B, the valve used in the modern rubber whoopee cushion. Or C, a mail order shoe company called Zeppo's.
Oh. Damn you, Peter. Damn ye.
Yes. I'm feeling quite damned,
actually.
A. You're going to go A, the clamp used to hold up the first atomic bomb.
Yes.
Yes, you're right. That's what it was. It's called...
Greatest moment of my life.
It's called a Marmon clamp, not a Merman clamp, a Marmon clamp, and it was used, among other things, for the atomic bomb and the Enola Gay.
The Merman clamp was used for brassieres.
Exactly. and to hold down Ernest Borgnine for about a month, but that's another story. Carl, how did Alec Baldwin do in our quiz?
Well, congratulations, Alec. You had two correct answers, so you win for Barbara Taylor.
Oh.
I just want to say one thing before we let you go, is that I'm actually kind of annoyed that you got into radio, because this was for us, the unattractive people. And now you're screwing up the curve for us. We looked up your IMDb profile, and your bio starts with the phrase, raven-haired and suavely handsome, Alec Baldwin, blah, blah, blah. You're the only person in radio who's ever been called suavely handsome.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This is fun.
Alec Baldwin, ladies and gentlemen. He is the host of the brand new podcast. It's called Here's the Thing. It's from NYC. Find it. Alec Baldwin, thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter.